Welcome to the Indianola First Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. Our prayer is that this message will inspire you, encourage you, and launch you into life-changing action.
There are so many days that a pastor will preach, and as a pastor, you try to plant vision into the people. It's like, gotta plant vision, gotta give them vision, right? Because where there is no vision, the people what? They perish. Another version of that verse says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. Meaning when they don't have focus on something, when they're not focused on the vision at hand, they just kind of cast off restraint and they let their spiritual guards down. They cast off the restraint. And it never goes well when we let our guards down, does it? Today is special. As a church, we don't just get to talk about the vision, but we get to celebrate a level of fulfillment of that vision today. To rescue, develop, deploy. And I'm going to preach really short. That's our vision, by the way. Rescue, develop, deploy. And we have been in a season where God is bringing us fruit in reference to all these things. Seems like for years we've been hammering this, and we see fruit from time to time, and we have seen some good things happen. But it's just in the last few months, it seems like there's so much fruit in those three areas. And I really want to share some of that with you today. You know, vision that isn't written down, and if it's not intentionally pursued, it isn't just going to happen. It doesn't just come to fruition. I believe we can count on God always doing his part. How many are with me? He always does his part. But we must do our part. And I'm not talking about works-based salvation. I'm just saying that there's a part for us to play. And he finds pleasure in using his people to build his kingdom and to do great things. And I love that about our God. We get to be a part of all that he's doing. And the first thing, you know, this rescue part of our vision. We are a church that's involved with rescuing people. And God does the rescuing. We just get to be a part. And of course, this alludes to evangelism and helping people make that decision for Christ. And that's happening. It's been happening in our services. It's been happening with some of you out in the marketplace, as well as the youth group, the children's church. It's happened in the ministry of the bistro. You know, we've had people who have started coming to church and started basically renewing their commitment to Christ because they came to the bistro because they thought there was free mimosas that were being handed out there, or that you could order there or get there. It's an amazing thing. God is using every aspect of the church. People are coming to Christ and they're being rescued from eternal death to eternal life. Understand the magnitude of that, church. When we're involved in rescuing people, we're literally snatching people from the fire in some cases. Literally doing that. Jude 23 says this, save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. And rescue doesn't mean that we as a church are only winning people to Christ for the first time. Sometimes people have come to Christ years ago, and some of our rescuing that's occurred is around here is because we have become an open door for those who have drifted away from Jesus. There's a lot of that goes on. People drift. Life gets in the way, and they drift away from their relationship with God. You are a family, church, that loves one another enough to reach out and pull those that are hurting in. James 5, verse 19 to 20 says, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. That's part of rescuing. Just being there for people that have drifted away that might be hurting. You know, we're also a church this has just happened. It's not that we've been necessarily intentional about this. It just happened. But we have become a church that's an oasis to those who have been hurt by other churches. And not just hurt by pastors, but pastors who have come here who have been hurt by their churches. So many have come through these doors carrying the hurt that they've experienced in previous church settings. And we should rejoice in that. It's a good thing. And I'm going to be honest this morning. There have been times when people have left this church feeling hurt because of us. even because of me. Some of those situations were outside of our control, where offense was taken even when it wasn't intended. We may not be able to prevent every hurt. That's my point. But what we can do and what we're committed to is continuing to grow as a community of grace where healing happens more often than wounds are inflicted. That's what kind of church we need to be, to avoid that hurt at all costs, even though we know it does happen sometimes, but to be there for people who are hurt, who are struggling, who have said even in their despair or their experience of other churches that they're never going to darken the door of a church again because of how they feel. We got to be the church that changes that for them by loving them back with grace and mercy and understanding. And we just witnessed 7 baptisms. I mean, that's rescuing, church. Individuals who have been drawn closer to God and wanted to make a public declaration of their faith. Some of them literally rescued. And you have all been a part of that. Every last one of you. That's exciting. Next week, you heard on that video from Brandon and Zara, there's going to be 7 more baptisms. And they're going to use this building, use our church on Sunday in the afternoon. I don't know, maybe they should invite all of us back to church to celebrate with them. And how many would come to a service just to watch that happen? Yeah, we could do that. But they're going to baptize 7 in their church, which is going to be awesome. And that doesn't even count the 41 that were baptized this last Easter right here. God is doing something. Do you not see that? I mean, that's a lot of baptisms in just a short time. God is doing something, and we all get to be a part of that. It's so exciting. It's a sign of a rescuing church. It's an indicator of God using all of us as a congregation to rescue those that are lost, hurting, and even those who have wandered off the trail a bit. Rescue is happening. Development, that's the second part of our vision. This is the next step, if you will, in accomplishing that vision that God has given us. And we don't just want to rescue people and leave them hanging, right? Someone once said that new Christians are like newborn infants. You can't just leave them alone and expect them to grow. That's why I've been so excited to have Pastor Jared making discipleship his real main area of focus. Remember, your pastors aren't here to do the work. I'm giving you a real good message right here, right now. The pastors aren't here to do all the work. I mean, I want to hear a little more amen on that. I can stay here all day. I don't have a roast in the oven or anything like that. So, I mean, the pastors are not here to do all the work. That's true. That is so true. We are called to what? Equip you to do the work. That's what Scripture says. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what we do around here. Wednesday night growth groups, life groups, Indianola First Women's Ministry with its sisterhoods, and men's ministry with this new Forge coming up, and marriage ministry, which offers counseling and a conference every year. We do these things to offer avenues of development for y'all. You can avail yourself to them or not. We aren't going to beg you to let us help you. Understand what I just said? I'm not going to beg you to let us help you. I mean, I'll encourage you, but these things are for you to grow in your faith. Sometimes I like to say to new believers that we will follow up with you, but it's not nearly as important as you following through with your decision. And guess what? We should never stop in our following through with our decision for Christ. We should always be striving to grow. There's not one person in here, no matter how old you are, that has arrived in Jesus. I mean, you have them, that's great, you're saved, awesome, wonderful, but how many know we got a long ways to go before we are perfect? Okay, we always do, and we can always be growing. And if you're not really growing from the classes that we offer, if you say, well, I don't really go to any classes or anything that you have because I don't really get anything out of it, you're probably missing your calling to teach one of those classes. So, you know, you need to come talk to us about that. We need to be a church where iron sharpens iron. We all need to love one another from point A in our lives in Christ to point B. And I applaud you today for being that kind of church. Discipleship and spiritual development always work best through close relationships. That's when it happens best. And we see it all over this congregation, couples and families getting together and encouraging one another. And it's happening organically, which is even better than the church trying to have another program to make that happen. When it happens organically, it's a beautiful thing. And there have been some developing, there's some developing going on within our youth ministry as well. The fine arts program has engaged some of our young people in a way that is life-altering. Some of you don't even know about fine arts. They come with their talent, their gift. They sing, they play music, they do artwork, they can do photography, they can preach, and the list goes on and on and on. Pretty much a category for everything you can imagine. They can write poetry, they can do whatever for the glory of God, and they can have it looked at, judged, not to put them down, but to encourage them that this is what you could do better, this is how you can hone your gift, this is how you can become more. And our youth were just a part of that. And you know, we had several in our church that not only got superiors in our district fine arts competition, but they got superiors with invitations to go to nationals. We just saw them in nationals when we were at general council, and we got to see our kids from our church doing their thing. Eli Paxton, where are you? Are you here? He's right there. How old are you? 16. He sang a male vocal solo and got a superior at nationals. I mean, pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Stand up, yeah. Blow some kisses. Take a bow, you know, whatever. We had Isaiah Thompson, who's downstairs today preaching in our children's church. He did a short sermon, and he was, again, got a superior at our district level. He went to nationals, and he got a superior rating at nationals in short sermons, which is great. Awesome. I mean, how could you sit there and watch your son? We were all there watching with him. How could you sit there, Pastor Jared and Devin, and not just be proud as peacocks? Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome to see. And then we had Zach Gay, who was playing guitar and singing this morning. He went as a, he got a superior rating here at the district level, and then he went to nationals, and we got to see him. He actually went in two events, and the second event he was in, it was worship leading solo. So he stands up there on the guitar in front of three judges, like American Idol, you know, looking. And he tries to worship in a room full of strangers and with a few friends. And he did it, and he actually got a superior rating. He got a callback, and he ended up being ninth in the nation for worship leading solo, which is awesome. Praise God. That's development. That being a part of that develops, not just in discipleship, but in your ministry gifts. All of it's important. Do you realize how many people in this church have gotten their ministry credentials in the past few years? It's a ton. It's a clear sign of being a church that develops. Pastor Brandon has become a licensed minister within the Assemblies of God. So has Pastor Zara. So has Daniel Carpenter, who was up on the keyboard this morning. He's a licensed minister with the Assemblies of God. Brett Rausch and Pastor Joel Simpson, who are down in Sheraton right now, he's preaching this morning, have become certified ministers. Josh McVeigh and Patrick Brown are currently working on theirs. We have become a pastor-producing church. It's pretty awesome. That's development. That's development. Did I miss any? I think I got them all. There might be more. I don't know. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, therefore, and verse 20, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We are not called to make converts. We're called to make disciples. Disciplined followers of Jesus. That's a disciple. And if there's one thing I know about being a disciplined follower of Jesus, is that he quickly calls you to go and make disciples and lead people to Jesus, like people led you. Deploy. It's the third part of our vision. This is the third leg. To deploy individuals into their ministry gifts and callings. To provide platforms and opportunities for people to minister according to the calling that God has in their life. And if you're here this morning, let me say this without any apology whatsoever. You are absolutely 100% called. You have a calling. See, we like to compartmentalize and say, well, people who are called, they go into full-time ministry and they become pastors and missionaries and evangelists and all these things. No, every person in this room, hear me, even if you don't even know Jesus as your Savior, you have a calling on your life. You'll find fulfillment, by the way, when you accept Christ and you get busy working within that calling, you'll find fulfillment like you never knew you could have. But every person in this room has a calling, has a purpose. God made you for a reason, a specific purpose. He saw a need in the world, and then he made you, and he put in just the right ingredients so that you could fulfill that calling. He's done that. That's who you are. You are not just an accident. You didn't just happen. You have a divine call on your life to do something for the kingdom of God. And it could be something that you might think is small, and it might be something that you would perceive as huge. They're all important. You have a call. I always like to say this even around the church. I don't think the preacher is any more important than the person who cleans the bathrooms. Because the person who cleans the bathrooms, obviously, if they're doing a good job, people will come in and they won't just turn around and leave. If they don't do their job, I don't even get to do mine. Right? Everybody is called. Some may be called the vocational full-time ministry, but many are not. That doesn't make you any less called. We have deployed missionaries out of this church, some full-time, and some, as you just heard earlier, have gone on short-term missions trips. That's deployment, either way. Some of you have been involved with youth ministry. You've been deployed to lead a small group in youth or just love on the youth. Maybe you've gone to camp as a leader. That's deployment. Josh and Taylor McVeigh right now are down in Sheraton this morning. We've deployed them to help Pastor Joel and Amanda get a kids ministry started at that church because they need one desperately. We've deployed a big portion of this section right here, right? We've talked about that already, to be a part of that ministry. And whether we deployed them or God deployed them, I mean, we've just been a part of it. So I'm just excited. They've been deployed to go to a town called Norwalk where there was only 6 churches in a town that has as many people as Indianola does. 6 churches. You know how many Indianola has? Over 30. Over 30. How many know Norwalk needs some church? They deserve a clear presentation of the gospel in a loving way. All of these areas are so important, and they're all deployment. We've deployed some of you to nursing home services. Some of you are being deployed to love the community of Indianola through the free clinic. Man, a bunch of you were here. I think I was in Florida, but a bunch of you were here doing free sports physicals for the people of our community. That's deployment. That's loving on people. We're deploying life group leaders and life group hosts, growth group leaders, greeters, security team, hosts, check-in people, live stream team. You know, I told the live stream team today, I just stepped in the room over there and I just said, hey guys, I just want you to know that what you do matters. Do you know that every single visitor that I can think of that we've had in the last couple years, every one of them has said we've watched live stream before we came to church. That means that live stream is the front door to this building. They come check it out sometimes for a month, sometimes for a couple weeks, sometimes for a couple months before they ever set foot in this place. I even remember a lady who came to church for the first time. She goes, I've been watching for a year. I know all the pastors, and she knew us all by name. I didn't never meet her before. But this was her church for over a year. It's pretty amazing what they do in live stream. It's a ministry. It's not just a volunteer job that's meaningless. It's a ministry. Worship team members. It's a ministry. Sound and media team. It's a ministry. Children's church workers. It's ministry. It takes a lot of people to keep up with the 3 children's churches going on downstairs every Sunday morning. We deployed workers in the Galaxy Room, which is our sensory room that offers one-on-ones to kids that need some extra love during the service. We've deployed kitchen and dining room staff. I mean, we've got some volunteer kitchen and dining room people in the bistro over here that prepare. They come really early. They prepare breakfast, and anybody that wants to come can have a free breakfast on Sunday morning. We'd love it if you put some money in the kitty, but it's free. We don't charge you. We'd like to keep it that way. So eat good, throw a 5 or a 10 spot in there, right? But they come very early, and the reason I bring them up is because if they didn't volunteer, we'd have to hire people to do it, and then we'd have to put a cost on the meal. It's awesome. That's deployment. Whatever you find your hands to do for the Lord, you're being deployed. Know that. Pastor Donnie is leading the charge in a newly created care team with nursing home and hospital visits, not just by the pastors, because the pastors aren't supposed to do all the work. I'll get to the hospital, I'll get to the nursing home, but how many know that as the church grows, that's impossible to get to everybody? So we have to think differently. Pastor Donnie's organizing that, and he's got a team that's coming together. If you'd like to be a part of that team, talk to him. I'm sure he'd love to have more people calling people, writing cards, visiting, praying with people. And let's not forget, I just said the prayers. We have prayer teams going on in this church, intercessors in this house, and they are actively praying. And prayer is a ministry, folks. It's not just something we get to do. I mean, it is a privilege, but it's ministry. It's work. When you're battling out in prayer, we're deploying people to pray. And the Holy Spirit is raising those people up, and it's awesome. I want to invite the worship team up right now because we're going to worship in just a second. So if they would want to prepare, that's great. But we're deploying all over the place in this church. And it's awesome because it's how we are involved with Jesus in building his kingdom until he comes again. You know, there's a really good geographical analogy, illustration of what it kind of looks like. How many have ever been to the Holy Land? A couple of you have? Okay, have you been to the Dead Sea? Have you been to the Sea of Galilee? The Dead Sea gets its name because everything around it's dead. There's no vegetation. It actually is very sulfur smelling. It's not a pleasant necessarily place to be. From what I'm told, it does smell. And it's just lifeless. It's just lifeless. You know that the Dead Sea is south of the Sea of Galilee? The Sea of Galilee, by the way, is teeming with life. Palm trees, recreation on the water, people living around there, people vacationing around there. It's a beautiful place. It's like teeming with life. What's the difference? The Sea of Galilee has an inlet and an outlet. And then as it goes down south to the Dead Sea, there's an inlet to the Dead Sea, but there's no outlet. What am I saying? If you're a church member and you're just, the inlet is you receiving from God every single week. Oh, I just love his presence. I love being at church. I'm not going to do anything with it, but I love it. Let me just soak in some more of God. I'm just going to soak it in. I'm not going to do anything. I just like being around the church people. They're nice to me. I'm just going to soak it in. I'm going to have this inlet going, but I'm going to shut off all the outlets. Guess what happens? You get stinky. You get smelly. The church dries up and it dies. That's what happens. But if you're like, Lord, fill me up and then pour me out like a drink offering, like Paul said. Pour me out, Lord. Let the spigots in my spiritual being be opened wide and just let it flow through me. You know what happens when you're being deployed, when you're allowing yourself to be deployed? You are pouring out that which has been poured into you. And if you do that enough, guess what happens? The river of God starts flowing through your life. I want to be in the river. I want the river to be in me. Flowing in and flowing out and not stinking. I'm not saying we're done with all this rescue, develop, deploy, that we've accomplished it all. Folks, I feel, I've been here 23 years. I feel like we're just scratching the surface to what God wants to do in this church, through this church and this community, through Empower and in that community in Norwalk. Our history is such that we have scars. We've been through some fire. But you know what? God has remained faithful to us. We have something to celebrate today because he has been so good to us. Even in the midst of our mistakes, even in the midst of our shortcomings, he's still growing the church. Still growing the church. We're still seeing things happen, and it's exciting.
Thanks for being a part of the Indianola First podcast. Join us next week to stay updated on our latest messages.